as always, it's such an honor to be able to share God's word with you today. And we've been in a series called Living Hope, and we're walking through the Gospel of Luke. And Pastor Mike said that this will be the longest series this church has ever done. So for the next 6 or 7 months, we're going to be actually digging into the Gospel of Luke. And aren't you grateful for a church that actually uses the Bible? Amen. And there's something special about a body of believers that gets excited about walking through a book of the Bible. In the book of Acts, which was also written by Luke, Luke gives an account of Philip, which was one of the disciples, overhearing an Ethiopian on the side of the road reading the book of Isaiah out loud. And Philip approaches him and asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "Well, how can I unless someone explain it to me? Or how can I unless someone helps me understand?" So that's one end of the spectrum. Later on in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas go to Berea to preach the gospel, and they're met with some Berean Jews. And Berean Jews are very scholarly, very knowledgeable of the scriptures. And the Bible says that when Paul would preach, those Berean Jews would receive the apostles' teaching with eagerness and excitement. But it also says that they would go home and examine the scriptures for themselves just to make sure what the apostle was teaching was actually true. So they were actually students of the Bible. And that's the other end of the spectrum. So whether you're on the end of the spectrum where, hey, I need help understanding the scriptures, or you're on the other end where, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Darren, but I'm going to go home and study for myself to make sure what you're saying is true. Regardless of where you fall within that spectrum, you will be empowered, strengthened, and encouraged in a series like this. So just to do a quick recap of what we've done, talked about so far. So Pastor Mike gave a background of Luke, and we learned that Luke was a critical thinker. He was a doctor, so his writing style was very detailed, very events and facts-oriented. And Luke was not one of the 12 disciples, so he never saw Jesus in the flesh, but he was convinced of him. And he was convinced of him because he was the traveling partner of Paul in the book of Acts, where he was going around building churches. So he actually saw the miracles take place that accompanied the teachings of the apostle. Next, we talked about John the Baptist, and we learned that Elizabeth and Zechariah were up there in age, and they were really praying for the birth of a child. And we learned that in that story that at times it may seem like God doesn't hear our prayers, but he is moving and active on our behalf, even if we don't see it. And when God answers our prayers, unlike Zechariah, who still needed proof that the angel spoke to him about a child, we should receive that teaching, or receive what Elizabeth received God's gift, and she worshiped him with no questions asked. It wasn't a matter of, is this true? She received it. Then we also learned from Mary's response of the angel coming to her and telling her the prophecy of the Savior of the world will be fulfilled through her. And her response was not one of questioning whether this was true or not. Her response was one of how the plan would actually take place and how honored she was to be chosen of God. And last week, we continued to learn the significance of Jesus' birth, and we learned of his sovereignty. And Jesus was born King of the Jews, but he didn't come with a lot of fanfare along with it. He came with very humble beginnings. And the announcement of his birth was announced to the lowest of the lows, the ones despised by society, which were the shepherds, which tells us that Jesus is Christ, Lord, and Savior of all, regardless of where you are, especially for those who we would typically disregard. So what am I going to talk about today? So actually, I'm going to show you a video of what we're going to talk about today. Today, we're going to talk about the original Home Alone. We're going to talk about Luke's account of Jesus being left behind and found in the temple. So my teaching objective today, we're going to read through our passage of Scripture in Luke's account. Secondly, we're going to go through those passages of scriptures and go into it a little bit more details about the context of it. And lastly, three things that we can take away from this passage of scripture. And my notes are available by text if you wanted to follow along. So starting at Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. So let's walk through these scriptures in a little bit more detail. Again, verse 41 says, every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Now, the Passover festival was an annual pilgrimage Jews would take to celebrate the Passover. And the Passover was the holiday commemorating the delivery of Jews from slavery out of Egypt. And the Passover actually refers to God passing over the houses of the Jews during the 10th plague. And the 10th plague was the killing of the firstborn males in Egypt. And if you recall, this was actually caused because of Pharaoh's disobedience. God instructed Moses to tell Pharaoh to let all the people go, let his people go. But because of Pharaoh's unwillingness to do so and his disobedience, God sent plagues. And this was the 10th and final plague, which was the killing of the firstborn son. And this is all found in Exodus chapter 12. So this pilgrimage that the Jews would take to Jerusalem was to commemorate God's faithfulness to the Israelites in delivering them out of slavery. Now, the trip from Nazareth, where Jesus and his family lived, to Jerusalem was about 65 to 80 miles in duration, so about a week's journey on foot. So this was not a trip where Joseph said, "Hey, Mary, let's pack up the minivan and let's head on out to Jerusalem." This was a year-long planning process. The planning for this trip actually began when they arrived back from the previous year's pilgrimage. So it was a year-long process in preparation. This was also a large caravan of people, so it wasn't just Jesus and his family. There were actually several families, including relatives and friends, all traveling together. And they packed food for all the families. They packed cooking supplies, overnight supplies, food for themselves, food for the traveling animals. And they also brought a lamb to be sacrificed. And they had to take special precautions with this lamb because this lamb had to be spotless in order for the priest to actually accept it. Otherwise, they would reject the sacrifice. So this was a really large caravan of people because all of the other families and relatives took similar items along with them. And verse 42 says, when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. Now, this scripture here is about Jesus, and his age is very significant here because according to custom, when he turns 13, he has all rights and responsibilities and obligations of that of a Jewish adult male. And those rights and obligations included the study and adherence of the commandments of the Torah, and the Torah is actually the Jewish Bible. And the commandments of the Torah that the males had to study and adhere to were, do not have any other gods, do not make or worship idols. Do not disrespect or misuse God's name. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not tell lies. Do not be envious. What does that sound like? The Ten Commandments. So they had to study and adhere to those, the Ten Commandments. Now, these laws and commandments were embedded in the Jewish youth from their very birth. So this was not foreign to them at all. But as a youth, you're not responsible or obligated to be a student and understand the depths of the Torah. But when you turn 13, you are. The Torah is a compilation of the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's also referred to as the Pentateuch, Penta meaning five, the first five books of Moses. It's also known in Jewish tradition as the written Torah. So beginning at the age of 13, Jewish males are expected to study and adhere to the tenets of the Torah, participate in synagogue services. He's also responsible for making a name or having significance in the Jewish community. So this Passover was really significant because it would be Jesus' last Passover before turning into adulthood, which is why later we're going to see why they were so amazed at his understanding of the scriptures, because at this point he's still considered a kid. He hasn't begun his formal studies. Verse 43, after those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. So this is our Home Alone moment here. So at this point, the celebration has taken place. Everyone's ready to head back to Nazareth. And like that Home Alone clip that we just saw, it wasn't just one family. There were multiple families running around, getting ready to head back home after the Passover. So it was probably pretty hectic, them running around, repacking everything, gathering animals, preparing for that long journey back to Nazareth. And I can think of Mary just being that typical mom at this point. She's thinking about, okay, I got to pack snacks for the kids. I got to make sure we have jackets for the kids when the temperatures change. She's thinking about, I have 2 weeks worth of laundry when I get home. She's wondering how she's going to get this camel smell out of all her clothes. You know, all that mom stuff she's thinking about. Then Joseph, being a dad and a businessman as a carpenter, he's thinking dad stuff. He's thinking businessman stuff. Joseph is thinking about, okay, I have to gas up the camel. I need to check our route online to make sure there's no traffic. And Joseph, being a carpenter, he's thinking about all his orders in his inbox that when he gets back, it's going to be flooded. He's thinking about his wood orders that's going to be delivered. He's thinking about all that kind of stuff. So Mary and Joseph, they're preoccupied with life, and they forget that one important thing behind, which is Jesus. Assuming, verse 44, assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. So one day has passed at this point, so obviously Mary and Joseph were focused on other things as they began to travel back. Mary's probably telling Joseph, you know, you should have taken a right at that sycamore tree over there. And, you know, Joseph's like, woman, I've done this trip a million times. You don't need to tell me. Then Joseph realizes he should have taken that right at the sycamore tree. But he's not going to say anything. You know how us guys do. We're not going to say anything. Then at some point, Mary's mama radar kicks in, and she realizes, I have not heard from Jesus in a while. So they stop the caravan, and they start asking the large party, hey, have you seen Jesus? Hey, have you seen Jesus? And they're like, no, we haven't seen him. And I can imagine Mary, she's in a panic right now. She's asking all the other kids, hey, have you seen Jesus? Hey, have you seen Jesus? And there's always that one sarcastic kid in the group. Oh, you mean the Son of God? Oh, the one who said he's going to walk on water in his 30s? No, Miss Mary, we haven't seen him. And Mary's like, I'm going to deal with you later. So Mary's in a panic. And I can imagine Joseph thinking, man, we're going to have Jerusalem Child Protective Services all over us. We need to head back. So verse 45, they did not find him. They returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. So they were all amazed, even the elders in the temple, because remember, he's only 12 years old at this point. His formal studies hasn't begun. So they were amazed at his knowledge. They were amazed at his understanding of the scriptures, because he had another year before he was actually to begin those formal studies. He's only 12. But what those teachers in the temple didn't understand or realize is that the one that they were studying was the one sitting right in front of them, which was Jesus. Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And what's funny about this scripture here is, notice Joseph said nothing. Mary did all the talking. Joseph was probably still upset about having to turn around and go back. All his travel plans were thrown off. He was probably just not a happy camper. And I know when I travel long distance, there's certain benchmarks or places I want to stop before, you know, we have to do anything. So we want to hit this point, then we'll stop and we'll eat. So he was probably upset that he had to turn around. So Joseph was not a happy camper. And the reason why probably Mary did all the talking is because Joseph is like, when we find that boy, you better talk to him because I don't know what I'm going to do to him. So verse 49, why were you searching for me? He asked him. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house? And the King James Version says, don't you know I'm about my father's business? Jesus was like, hey, mom and dad, I love you both very much, but I'm here for my calling. I'm here preparing for my purpose. I'm here doing what the Father put me on earth to do. Verse 50, but they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth and was obedient to him. His mother kept all these things in her heart. And notice, in walking out his purpose, he never disrespected those who didn't understand what he was doing. He was still obedient to them. And Jesus, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. So there's so much to take away from these 12 passages of scriptures, but there are three things I want us to take away from this passage of scripture. Number one, when you know your purpose, even when others may not understand it, nothing can stand in your way. Verse 49 says, why were you searching for me? He asked him. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house? Again, the King James Version says, don't you know I'm about my father's business? Jesus is telling those closest to him, I know why I'm here. I know what I'm called to do. I know what I'm placed on this earth to do. So whether you're on board with it or not, these things are going to be fulfilled. But they did not understand what he said to them. Jesus is saying, you may not understand, but I'm here for a purpose. Jesus knew at 12 years old what his purpose was, and nobody could deter him from that. He was about his father's business. So God has placed us all here on earth for a purpose. Even when others don't understand it, God's purpose will be fulfilled. Now, my wife, Mercedes, here's my first story, by the way. My wife, Mercedes, knew from the early age of 6 that she was called to be a teacher. And she used to play teacher as a little girl, but not like you would imagine. You'd imagine a little girl playing teacher with all her stuffed animals and Barbies all lined up in the room. Not my wife. My wife was a tomboy. She didn't have Barbies. She didn't have stuffed animals. She had a tool belt at 6 years old. She was actually hanging drywall at 6 years old, and that's no exaggeration. So Mercedes' imaginary classroom consisted of her playing all the roles. She was actually the teacher, the student, and the parent for parent-teacher conferences. Yes, parent-teacher conferences in her imaginary classroom at 6 years old. And she shared with me in her classroom, she would play the role of the teacher, and she would actually have a lesson, and she would teach the lesson. She would create a test, an actual test, not an imaginary test, an actual test, and then she would flip roles, and she would become the student and actually take the test. And she said she would purposely miss questions on the test, so when she flipped back to the teacher, she would correct it, and there would be incorrect answers on there. And then she would answer, those questions would be wrong, and then she would send a note home, not an imaginary note, a real note home, telling her imaginary parents that Mercedes could do better. So track with me. She had a conference with herself, about herself, in her imaginary classroom, and this was all at the age of 6 years old. But when she got older, that calling to be a teacher actually grew stronger on her. But people around her would actually squash that dream. They told her, teachers don't make money. You'll never make any money as a teacher. What you need to do is you need to go to college and do something that's going to make some real money. So she bounced around from major to major in college. She was in accounting, she was in economics, but nothing really stuck with her. So she was kind of taking a while in college, and her parents were telling her, and relatives were telling her, she needs to make a decision and stop wasting her time. And Mercedes was one of those really annoying kids in school. She's one of those annoyingly smart kids. She actually graduated high school a year early. She's one of those kids that never carried books home, never carried a backpack. She would show up to class, show up to the test, and ace the test. where us normal people would have to study. She didn't have to study. She's one of those kids. But again, relatives told her she needs to stop wasting time, and they told her, you should go into nursing. Nursing is a good field. You'll make great money in nursing. And so she began taking nursing courses, and one of the courses was in child development. And as part of the curriculum of child development, she had to observe children in a classroom setting. So she went to the classroom, and what God placed in her heart at 6 years old began to resurface again. And being in that element of a classroom rekindled her fire to be a teacher. And she knew that's exactly what she needed to do. So during this time also, she was attending church, and she was approached by the youth pastor at the church to actually serve in the children's ministry. And for 2 years, she said, no, I don't want to do it. And he continually asked her, would you like to serve in the children's ministry? You'd be a blessing to this. And she's like, no. So for 2 years, she said no. And then God placed it in her heart to start serving in the children's ministry. And that combination of her taking the child development classes as well as her serving in the children's ministry actually put her back on track to be a teacher and what she was called to do. She then got accepted into the Sacramento State Teaching Program, and she began taking the coursework to be a teacher. So she was back on track doing what the Father called her to do. Not disrespectful to those who didn't understand that calling in her life, but she knew that was her purpose and what she was called to do. And she actually became a second grade teacher. Now, how she received her first teaching job, they actually waited for her to finish all of her college credits. They met her, and she was doing some sub work for them, and they met her, and they're like, we do not want to lose this one. So they actually held the second grade position for her until she finished all of her coursework. And when she finished all of her coursework, she was immediately hired as a second grade teacher. And 7 years prior to us, for 7 years prior to us moving here to Texas, she went on to teach and impact family, staff, and friends in California. And she still gets calls and pictures from former students today. They're now in high school because of the impact that she had on them. Also, while at school, she actually started a morning prayer call for staff members to pray for children and teachers. And she didn't ask for approval for this. She just did it. And no prayer in school? Okay. I'm going to do it anyway. She prayed for the kids, the staff, and the students. And outside of work, even those co-workers and non-believers who didn't believe in the Lord, whenever they had a tough situation or they needed a miracle, they needed healing, they needed prayer, they reached out to Mercedes for that. Then when we moved to Texas just over a year ago, we knew the process for transferring all of her California credentials and everything to Texas was going to take a while, so there was no real hurry for her to become a teacher. So in early August, she actually decided just to go out and take a look and see what's out there. Again, she wasn't going to apply for anything. This was more just out of curiosity. So early August, again, she went out and just kind of looked out there. And again, we knew, again, it was going to take a while for her to get all of her information transferred over, so there was no hurry for her to get a job. But when she looked out there, there was a second grade posting, and second grade is the grade that she's most passionate about, and it was literally posted 2 days prior. So she decided just to apply, just to see what it's going to be like for eventually her transferring everything over. So she applied that night. She got a phone call that night. She returned the phone call at 8:30 the next morning, and they scheduled a virtual interview for her. They said one of multiple interviews, so we want to interview you. So this was at 5 o'clock. So I took Skylar out of the house, our daughter, so Coco Melon's not playing in the background, so she has, while she has her interview. So she had this interview, and so we were away for a couple of hours, and when I came back, my first question was, when do you start? And she started August 15th as a second grade teacher here in Texas. So when God has called you to be about his business, nothing can stand in the way of that. Secondly, when God has called you to do something, don't feel like you've arrived. Continue growing, continue learning in your calling. Verse 46 says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus knew why he was placed on the earth. He knew his purpose, yet he was sitting in the temple, listening and asking questions. And verse 52 says he grew in wisdom and in stature. So we should never just sit and become complacent because of the gift God has placed in all of us. We should continue to grow, continue learning in that gift. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Paul is writing this to Timothy, encouraging him. Encouraging Timothy, hey, you've been called to preach. You've been called to teach. You have a gift, but don't get comfortable in it. Continue to grow. Continue learning in that studying in that calling. Jesus was in the temple learning, studying, and asking questions. And verse 16 is a very valuable part of that 2 Timothy there. It says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." So Paul is telling Timothy, shun and profane vain babblings. In other words, stay away from people who aren't going to encourage you in your calling. Those types of arguments and disputes just pull you further and further away from the things God has called you to do. Now, had Mercedes listened to those people who told her nurses or teachers don't make money, she would have never gone on to impact children, family, and staff members for 7 years in California, and no telling what she's going to do in Texas, for all for God's glory. Amen? So pull away from people who aren't speaking life into your calling. Lastly, what we can gain out of these passages of scriptures is don't seek approval of man before that of God. Verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with people." Notice the order of his growth here. It says he grew first in favor with God, and because of his favor with God, he grew in stature with people. We should seek God's favor above anyone's and anything else's. Man's approvals, man's promotions are temporary, but God's are eternal. We should seek those things that are eternal above anything else. And when we do that, everything else will just be taken care of. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And I think of the story that I just shared of Mercedes there. For 2 years, she said no to children's ministry. And during that 2 years, she was growing in her faith, growing in favor with God. And a couple years later, she grew in favor with men, where they were actually holding a teaching position for her, waiting for her to finish her college credits. And she gets hired on the spot. That's favor with man, with the foundation of a favor with God. So going back to the clip that we saw, the Home Alone clip, at the very beginning, everyone was caught up in life, just running around, rushing, distracted, family and friends. And when they finally had a moment to just kind of sit, they realized they left the most important thing behind, which was Kevin. In our life, with the hustle and bustle of today's busyness of life, when we finally have a moment to just settle down and sit back, let's make sure we're not forgetting the most important thing, and that's Jesus. Stand with me. As the worship team comes, let's pray about the giftings God has placed in all of you. All of you have a gifting that God has placed in you, and nothing is too big, nothing is too small. A lot of times when we think of giftings or callings from God, we think of someone standing up here with a microphone or playing an instrument. It's so much bigger than that. God has placed something specific in you, for you, to impact the kingdom. And in doing so, let's not get so distracted and so caught up that we forget the most important thing, which is Jesus. Let's continue to grow in it. Let's continue to seek God's favor over man's favor. And don't let others pull you away from that calling that God has placed you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you today. We thank you for, again, the calling that you've placed on all of us, Lord. We're just so grateful that you choose to use us for your glory and for your honor, Lord. And Lord, there's nothing too insignificant, there's nothing too big, there's nothing too small when it comes to impacting the kingdom. And Lord, we want to impact the kingdom like never before, Lord. So let us walk out our calling, Lord. Let us continue to be obedient to you in all things. And Lord, we just love you. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.